A couple of 12-year-old hookers who didn't usually work this strip rounded a corner, heading toward Polk's base. She gave a low whistle. The kids immediately drifted apart, staying on the street but trying not to look like a crew. It didn't help. The hookers knew already that Polk was a crew boss, and sure enough, they caught her by the arms and slammed her against a wall and demanded their permission fee. Polk knew better than to claim she had nothing to share. She always tried to keep a reserve in order to placate hungry bullies. They were gaunt, old-looking. Until they grew bodies and started attracting the slightly less perverted trade, they had to scavenge. It made Polk's blood boil to have them steal from her and her crew, but it was smarter to pay them off. If they beat her up, she couldn't look out for her crew now, could she? So she took them to one of her stashes and came up with a little bakery bag that still had half a pastry in it. It was stale, since she'd been holding it for a couple of days for just such an occasion, but the two hookers grabbed it, tore open the bag, and one of them bit off more than half before offering the remainder to her friend. Or rather, her former friend. For of such predatory acts are feuds born. The two of them started fighting, screaming at each other, slapping, raking at each other with clawed hands. Polk watched closely, hoping that they'd drop the remaining fragment of pastry, but no such luck. It went into the mouth of the same girl who had already eaten the first bite, and it was that first girl who won the fight, too, sending the other one running for refuge. Polk turned around, and there was the little boy right behind her. She nearly tripped over him. Angry as she was at having had to give up food to those street whores, she gave him a knee and knocked him to the ground. "Don't stand behind people if you don't want to land on your butt," she snarled. He simply got up and looked at her, expectant, demanding. "No, you little bastard, you're not getting nothing from me," said Polk. "I'm not taking one bean out of the mouths of my crew. You aren't worth a bean." Her crew was starting to reassemble now that the bullies had passed. "Why you give your food to them?" said the boy. "You need that food." "Oh, excuse me," said Polk. She raised her voice so her crew could hear her. "I guess you ought to be the crew boss here, is that it? You being so big, you got no trouble keeping the food."
"Not me," said the boy. "I'm not worth a bean, remember?"
"Yeah, I remember. Maybe you ought to remember and shut up," her crew laughed. But the little boy didn't.
"You got to get your own bully," he said.
"I don't get bullies, I get rid of them," Polk answered. She didn't like the way he kept talking, standing up to her. In a minute she was going to have to hurt him.
"You give food to bullies every day. Give that to one bully and get him to keep the others away from you."
"You think I never thought of that, stupid?" she said. "Only once he's bought, how do I keep him? He won't fight for us."
"If he won't, then kill him," said the boy.
That made Polk mad. The stupid impossibility of it, the power of the idea that she knew she could never lay hands on. She gave him a knee again, and this time kicked him when he went down.
"Maybe I start by killing you." "I'm not worth a bean, remember?" said the boy. "You kill one bully, get another to fight for you. He want your food. He's scared of you, too."
She didn't know what to say to such a preposterous idea.
"They eating you up," said the boy. "Eating you up. So you got to kill one. Get him down. Everybody as small as me. Stones crack any size head."
"You make me sick," she said.
"'Cause you didn't think of it," he said.
He was flirting with death, talking to her that way. If she injured him at all, he'd be finished. He must know that. But then he had death living with him inside his flimsy little shirt already. Hard to see how it would matter if death came any closer. Polk looked around at her crew. She couldn't read their faces.
"I don't need no baby telling me to kill what we can't kill,"